I'm getting, you know, here as a emeritus. I'm going to give this sermon in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just gave a talk at the St. Michael's Church about the Holy Theotokos for the Annunciation Tea. And we focused on the Theotokos herself, which for me is always difficult because we have no theology of the Theotokos. We must understand that. She is part of the inner mystery of the church. And I talked about how she represented the church. But this feast that we celebrate today in Greek is called Evangelismos. Evangelismos, which means the proclamation or the annunciation of the good news. Of the good news. Okay? So it is all about Christ. We must understand that. We wear the blue, we call it a Marian feast and so forth, kind of taking on the Roman Catholic paradigm, which is not wrong. But we must remember that everything, the Theotokos is pointing to heaven or to Christ, never to herself. Never to herself. So today, I want to focus in on the meaning, the deep meaning. There are many layers of meaning. And the Lord required the consent of the virgin to take flesh from her. He required it, for he will do nothing against our will. So this fine balance between, and Mary clearly had an important a part in our salvation, as we say in the hymns. And yet, she is not God. So we have to keep all of these things in mind as we talk about the Theotokos. Because if we go too far in one direction, as some have, our faith becomes distorted. So, beloved of St. Simeon, on this day I say to you, rejoice, Ephrahi. In Arabic, charite in Greek. It's clear that the word itself means rejoice. And it was also the greeting for which a lesser person greeted a higher person in the old times. So it was translated into the English, hail. And yet hail does not capture the full meaning of the word charite. It means rejoice. For on this day we hear that our King is coming. Our King is coming. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for now we hear that heaven is again open to us. Now we can sing this holy liturgy with the angels. We're not here alone. We sing in the heavenly places. Rejoice, for today the good news, evangelismos. And you know that word, I just told you what it meant. To proclaim that good news. Because of what? What is the good news? What is the good news? Our oppressor, that evil one, who for thousands of years has imprisoned the human race, in our sinful self-centeredness, in our divisions between us, hatred, murders, the devil himself, that is, he is now thrown off and effectively destroyed. Now, today is the beginning of our salvation. In the Greek nation, this day is also known on which the 400-year oppression of the Turkish yoke was thrown off, and they were set free. So it's like a national day for the Annunciation in Greece, is they got rid of all the Muslims, the Turks, forgive me, which is much more significant What is much more significant, the earthly victory or the heavenly victory? That victory that they had is only a weak shadow of the victory that we have in the throwing off of the devil. So we no longer fear him, for his power over us has been destroyed. Beloved, in our day, many people are anxious, fearful, they're wringing their hands. They don't quite know why. Oh, look at the wars and so forth. All these things are to be expected. Do not fear. Do not fear. They're given drugs, our people. They're given drugs, which definitely help with the physical symptoms. They kind of calm things down for a while. But they are only a Band-Aid for the deepest root of these fears, which we as Christians, we already have this medicine. Do not fear. The cure lies in the meaning of this day, which we celebrate in God's holy church, Evangelismos. The blessed Paul, in his epistle today, explains exactly what I'm saying. Let us look at it a little bit deeper. St. Paul starts out by telling us that the one who makes us holy, our King Jesus, and us have the same origin. That Jesus, the Word of God, who became flesh, and us have the same origin. What does it mean? This means that God, who lived before the ages as the Word, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the same God, came down from his throne, came down from his Father. He left his Father, and on earth he left his mother, and he clung unto his wife, that is, the people of God, and the two became one flesh. He took flesh from a virgin to become a human being. He came as a baby dependent on us. He suffered hunger and thirst and pain because he knew that only by becoming one of us could he save us. And if we are going to save anyone, if we are going to save those that are in trouble morally, spiritually, psychologically, if we're going to save them, we have to enter into their very life first, not with words, but with our presence and our love. We have to love them if we are to heal them and set them free from their demons. We can't just send them money or say, "Be well, I will pray for you," and pat them on the back. This is what we are trying to do in this holy place of St. Simeon. We are becoming a part of each other with all of our woundedness, with all of our sicknesses and issues, and our personality differences and difficulties. And we are here for each other. Let St. Simeon always be this kind of place where we love each other, for it is by this that the world will know that we are Christians. If we love one another, let us share each other's lives. Here we have the reason for the good news of why our God took on flesh. Because he loves us and desires to share his life with us, to give us his life. So this mingling of divinity and humanity in Jesus, this mingling has deified and given us the potential to be like God. It is a very subtle and difficult thing. The Council of Chalcedon said that this mystery cannot be expressed except in negative terms. That God and man came together in the womb of the Virgin without confusion, division, separation, and there's one more C. Anyway, I'm getting to that age. So formula of Chalcedon is very important for us. So now we come to the very center of the Holy Epistle. Please listen carefully. St. Paul writes that the Lord became one of us so that he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject, fear. You know, the psychologists talk about anxiety and so forth, but really, and Freud talks about the death, but not in the Christian way. This fear of death is the center of all of our anxieties, and this is why we're in bondage to sin. Beloved, this is the reason that we're here. We are imprisoned in our own distorted worlds. Satan uses our fear, the fear of death, to keep us enslaved to him. Because we fear death, we turn our vision from the heavenly things only to the earthly things, because we think that that is the only thing that will save us. Oh yeah, you should pray, but first, go to the doctor. I will tell you a story about a beautiful man. I think he's related to Father Andrew. His wife calls me up in the middle of the night and from Beverly Hills and says, "Father, come quickly. My husband can't breathe." I said, "Did you call the doctor?" He's calling a priest. She said, "The doctor sent him home to die. I need you." You see, beloved in Christ, and you know who that is. Beloved in Christ, I was convicted. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. Of course, I would never say that. I would have been out of business if I said that. But I'm telling you that there is something beyond this earthly life. There is something that is more important, and it is life in its fullness. Life in its fullness. We've begun so attached to earthly things, we fear losing them. We fear losing our reputation. We fear losing our dear families. Of course, we do fear it. We fear losing our honor among men. We fear losing our health. We fear it. We fear losing our work. This fear paralyzes us and causes us to strike out against others. It causes us to lose our love for others and come into conflict with them. This is what the devil uses against us to keep us in this prison of fear. And it's a vicious cycle. But, there's always an orthodoxy about my loved ones. The good news, the evangelion, the good news is that our gracious Lord this day has set us free from our fears. His cross and his pouring out of his blood has set us free from the oppression of the devil. Death, which before was a fearful and terrifying place for us, has become a place where we will meet Jesus. For he has descended into hell on great and holy Saturday and awaits us there. Death, which before was a darkness, has now been filled by light, for the light of the world has illuminated it. It is no longer dark. We are not going into the unknown, but into the arms of our blessed Lord. If we are to finish his journey in his arms, we must start this journey now in his holy church. We must enter into the meaning of these feasts. Come to these feast days. It's so important. I know we have to work. If we don't work, we don't eat. But if we can manage, we need to be here. This place needs to be full next year. We must dedicate ourselves to the holy prayer of our liturgies, our vespers, our holy Lenten period. For when we come here, he is the one who is praying in us and with us. Somebody asked me, "What's your program, Father?" Everybody has a program now, you know. My program is the Divine Liturgy. We don't need any other programs. Of course, it's nice to get together and talk and, you know, the social part. We need to do this. But that's all it is. It is not the conquering of death, nor is it the cure for our ills. If our Lord is praying with us and in us, for us, what possibly could we fear? for eternal life is indestructible. Rejoice, for now we are fully alive, and we no longer fear death. Cast all of your cares and anxiety on Jesus, for the devil, our oppressor, has been destroyed. Let us love one another, even with all of our warts, all of our festering and foul-smelling wounds, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will come into us with power and make us this stench go away, and we will become sweet-smelling, a sweet fragrance to Jesus Christ. Let us humble ourselves and take up our crosses, and the crucified one will come and make his home in us. On this holy day of the Evangelismos, this great Annunciation, let us shout with joy, rejoice, for the Lord is with us. Amen.